Well, let's take our Bibles tonight and open up to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12.
Romans chapter 12. The most important decision that we will make in our lifetime is most obviously that for Christ, for salvation. There's one decision, though, that follows that is nearly as important as that. And that's what I want to talk tonight about. The second most important decision that a Christian can make. Let's go ahead and read the first two verses. Follow along as I read. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye be improved what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for this passage of Scripture. Now guide us. May your Holy Spirit help us as you show us wondrous things out of thy law. And Father, may our hearts and our minds and our bodies, our wills all yield unto thee for just the next few moments that you'll have your way in our lives. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now in this passage of Scripture, as I said, the second most important decision a Christian can make is contained here. And I'll just tell you what that is. It's the last three words of verse number 2, the will of God. Now, we think the will of God so often is for young people as they make so many different decisions, life-changing decisions when they're young. And yet, the will of God is for all of us. If we're breathing, we need to be concerned with it. In verses 1 and 2, you have seven requirements for finding God's will in your life. Now, I don't plan to go there tonight. I don't think tonight's message will be very long, but if I do those seven, it will be long. And so we'll save that, Lord willing, for next week. But as he concludes the thoughts here in these two verses, what he does is gives us the motivation to seek his will. I love that about God. He gives us commandments. He tells us what's best for us. And then he sweetens the pot and puts the icing on the cake. And he tells us why this is in our best interest. And so as we consider why we should do God's will, we see three things as God describes his will for your life and for my life. And he contains these three things at the end of verse number 2 when he says that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so we have God's will described in three different ways, and this applies to us as an individual, but this also applies to us as a church family. God's will, first, is always good. It's always good. Now, the idea behind the word good, if you were to define it literally, would be that which is morally right. That which is morally right. God's will never lead you contrary to the Word of God. In His Word, He has a lot of thou shalts, and He also has a lot of thou shalt nots. God's will never contradict any of those things in God's Word. It's just that simple. And so, therefore, it is good. But along with that, moral excellence, or that moral correctness, that moral rightness in our lives as we're doing God's will, comes the idea of satisfaction. And so if I were to define this word in this context, in this verse, I would define it as satisfying. When you find God's will for your life, you'll find that it's a satisfying life. Now here recently, you all are aware that I had to make a very difficult decision. And right now, it's still a very difficult decision. But I know it's God's will. And I know that in the end, it will be good and that it will be satisfying, not just for me, because God's will for my life involves your lives as well. And so in the end, it's going to be good or satisfying for you as well. And even though we may not see that now, we know that in the future, that that's exactly what it's going to be, because that is the will of God. God's will is good. We see, secondly, that it's acceptable. It's acceptable. Now, that word is used towards the end of verse number 1 about our lives as we present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And we understand the context there that it's well-pleasing to God. Our life is well-pleasing to God. We're doing those things that He enjoys that bring a smile to His face. But when we're talking about the word acceptable in verse number 2, it's not acceptable to God, even though God's will, of course, is acceptable to Him, but it's talking about acceptable to us. And sometimes God asks us to do things that we would not necessarily choose to do. I've shared many times that I never wanted to be a pastor. People would tell me that I should be and that I was cut out for it, and I would just laugh at them. I'd say, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. I don't want to do that. I'd be crazy if I wanted to be a pastor. But now after pastoring for so long, I can't imagine doing anything else, because I found that being a pastor, in other words, being in God's will for my life, is acceptable. It brings joy to me. And so I would define that word acceptable as joyful. You see, God's will is good, it's satisfying, but it's also acceptable, it's also joyful. It's the only path to joy in the Christian's life. You see, there's a lot of Christians that are going around in this world that lack the joy that God has promised to give them. Now, the question is, why is that? It's not that there's always sin in their lives, because I've known some good Christians that have walked the line that lack the joy. And what their problem is that they're not walking in God's perfect will. And so they're lacking. You see, the problem is there's the will of ourselves. And those two are battling, the will of the flesh. The flesh has its own ideas of what brings joy and its own ideas of what we should do and where we should go and how we should spend our time. And so there's always that constant battle, and it's easy to give in to the will of the flesh and not do the things that God has asked us to do. But we also have to battle the will of the world. The world has a will too. And that world system is something that we're not supposed to be in love with, because it's contrary to the will of God. The world has its philosophies, it has its prince that controls this world, and it's contradictory because He is the adversary. Now, sometimes God's will surprises us. Look back in the history of Israel. There was a young man that was a tall, strapping young man, and Israel wanted a king. Of course, I'm talking about King Saul before he became king. He was head and shoulders taller than anyone else in the kingdom. And it was God's will that he become king. You remember how they chose the king? They all gathered together. Samuel is guiding them through the process. And they bring each tribe. And God says, pick the tribe of Benjamin. And then in the tribe of Benjamin, they bring each family. The heads of the families will walk by, and God said, pick this one. And as they picked that family, they then brought all the men from that family, and God pointed to Saul. And the people looked around and said, well, where is he? And then they began to question God's will. Where did Saul go? Where could he be? Can he possibly be God's choice? Could we have made a mistake? But they went to God, and God said, well, he's just hiding among the stuff. And you remember shortly after he was crowned as the king, and then the city was surrounded, and Saul took an army and just defeated the enemy. And then everybody was so glad they had Saul as their king. You see, Saul started out well, but he got out of the will of God. And so God wanted Samuel to anoint another king. You know who he was, David. And so he told Samuel, well, go to Jesse's house and anoint one of his sons. Well, Jesse had 7 sons, and so how's Samuel supposed to know which one? And so Jesse paraded the oldest, and Samuel was impressed. But God said, not him. God looks on the heart. You remember that. Brought the second one. Samuel's impressed, but God says, no, not him either. And down the line they went through the first 6. Do you realize that David's own dad had no confidence in David. David's own dad said, this boy is, all he's good for is caring for the sheep. He's got his head in the clouds playing that music all the time on the harp. He's a religious little man, but he's not going to make any kind of a king. He's worthless, except for taking care of the sheep, which was the most menial task in the kingdom. And when all six of the elder brothers were ruled out, Samuel was forced to ask Jesse, you got any more boys? Because none of these are it, and I know God told me. And Jesse said, oh yeah, I got another. But he's just out with the sheep. He's a ruddy little boy. You don't want him. Samuel said, bring him here. And God said, that's the man. A man after my own heart. And guess who he became? The greatest king Israel has ever seen. You see, sometimes God will surprises us, and it always brings joy. That's the thing. Sometimes God might surprise you with a plan for your life that you never dreamed would ever happen, or you never thought was possible, or you never imagined you'd ever want to become involved in something. And yet if you'll take that step of obedience, say, God, I'll do your will, God will bring you joy that just cannot be defined. It cannot be explained. It can only be experienced as God gives us His acceptable will, acceptable to us. We don't complain about it. We don't moan and groan about it. We just praise God that His will is so acceptable. You see, God is trying to motivate us to seek out His will. As I said, there are seven steps to finding God's will. We'll cover those next time. But the first motivating factor is that God's will is good. It's always satisfying. The second motivation is that God's will is acceptable. It brings great joy to our hearts and our lives if we'll do it. And the third thing He gives us here is that it's perfect. It's perfect. Now, if we were to define the word perfect today, we would define it as flawless. Having no flaw whatsoever in it. And certainly God's will is all of that and more, but that's not what the word perfect in the scriptures means. It means to be complete. That's the actual definition of the word perfect, to have all of its parts. In other words, what God is telling us is that God's will is knowable. So many people go through life and they never know God's will for their life. And they get frustrated sometimes and say, you just can't know what God's will is. It's too mysterious. You just can't find it. But God wants to assure us right here that we can know every little detail of God's will for our lives. And when we find that will, it is everything we'll need in life. Now, how do we find God's will? If God says it's knowable, if God says it's perfect, how do we discover it? And I think you know, because I talk about this fairly frequently. The first way we know God's will is through prayer. You cannot find God's will apart from prayer. It's just that simple. And I believe that fasting goes along with that. We find fasting taught and practiced throughout Scripture. And yet in our affluent society, we're appalled at the very thought of fasting. Do you know how I knew that little girl over there was my wife? I fasted for 3 days. Yeah, I was hungry. We get to a point where you don't feel it so much. But I really wanted to know. And then God let me know. And then she had to drag it out of me. So it's a funny story. I'm not going to get into it now, but I proposed to her. We're taking a walk and we're on the railroad tracks. Completely, I would say spontaneous, but it wasn't spontaneous because she drug it out of me. But nevertheless, here we are over 38 years later. But I wanted to know God's will because I thought she was really something. I still think she's something more now. But nevertheless, God let me know. But it happened through prayer and fasting. If you want to know the important decisions in your life, and it doesn't matter if you're a young person, it doesn't matter if you're an old person, what does God want from you? What is His will in your life? He will let you know. He will tell you. But He's not just going to drop it out of the sky. He's not going to text you on your phone. He's not going to send that neon light. He's going to make you ask Him and show that you're sincere. Do you ever do that with your kids? They really want something, and so you ask them to do a chore that you know they don't like to do. And you know, and you watch their eagerness. And that's when you really know that they want what they've asked for. And you do, as a parent, at least I did, everything I could to grant that request. You see, God's no different than we are. Well, yes, He is. But in that respect, I don't believe God's a whole lot different than we are. He's a father. And He loves His children. And He wants only the best for us. But He doesn't want us to just get everything we ask for, and He doesn't just want us to take things for granted. He wants us sometimes to work for those best things in life. If you want to know God's perfect will, because it is knowable, it takes a minimum of prayer, and may I suggest oftentimes fasting. Another way we can ascertain God's will is through the Word of God. You see, God's will never contradict God's word, ever. And so immerse yourself in God's word, and God will reveal His will to you. It's surprising how many cures just simply immersion in the word of God will bring to us. I think I mentioned not too long ago the roll-off homes, a home for drug addicts and drunkards and criminals that are sent there by the court system, and the church takes them into their homes. And I mean, not into individual members of the church's homes, but they have homes set up, a group home, where they take them and they immerse them in God's word and have a tremendous success rate. There's a program for addictions, drug addicts and all kinds of addicts. That's fairly popular. It originated in the Chicago area, and now a lot of good local churches are sponsoring or have a chapter of this. It's called the RU program. I don't remember what, Reformers Unanimous, that's what the RU stands for. And you know how they cure addiction problems? Immersion in the Word of God. You see, the Word of God is an amazing thing that God has given us, His living Word. It's not like any other book. We can read all the self-help books we want. We've been talking about addictions or being a drunkard. If you want to, hopefully none of you have an issue with that, but if you wanted to cure that, you could get all the books you want on it put out by Alcoholics Anonymous. You know how much good that'll do you? Nothing. It'll just waste your time. You can get all the books in the bookstore on how to overcome it. You know how much good that'll do you? Nothing. It'll take something out of your wallet and it will waste your time. But you take this one book that you already have in your possession and you immerse yourself in it, God is going to show you how and give you the strength to follow through. And He does that in regards to His will. He'll show you how and give you the strength to follow through with His will. You see, He wants you to know His will. And that's the whole idea here when He says that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The idea behind that proving is of a metal worker. When they get some precious type of metal, whether it be gold or silver or whatever it is, they give it a test to see. And you see in the old westerns where they bite down on the coin to prove it. Well, that's the same kind of concept. It's just simply proving that it is what it claims to be. God wants you to know His will. If you'll find it, you'll find it good, satisfying. Is your life satisfying? If it isn't, maybe you haven't found God's will. Not only is it good, it's also acceptable. Do you have the joy of the Lord in your life continuously? Not every once in a while, but continuously, then maybe you haven't found God's will yet. And it's perfect. It gives you everything you need. It's complete. Do you know His will? He wants you to know it. And so He gives us the motivation to seek it. So the question of the hour is, have you been seeking God's will? Not just for the young people, but if you're breathing God's air, He has a perfect will for your life. Seek it out. You'll find it a worthy search. Father, we thank You for Your word, and thank You for having a will for each one of our lives. Father, may we this evening determine that we'll seek it out in our personal lives, but also in our church life as well, to just simply do what You would have us to do, because it's good, it's acceptable, and it's perfect. And we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.